Amen. Thank you, Oakley. So if we haven't met, my name is Trayvon Smith. I'm one of the young adult pastors here. I'm excited to continue on in our series, Your Kingdom Come, Your Will Be Done. But I can't dive into it before we just address, like you said, it's so amazing to see how all of you kind of took with the theme and actually dressed up and participated. I always love to just have fun in the midst of ministry. But I also think it kind of brought me back to the thought of what was my own prom like? And I have a couple pictures of what 2011 looked like for me. And so there's young Trayvon, got the fresh Nikes, and like, hey, animal print was the thing. But then this is senior prom. I was caught up. I knew I was coming to Oklahoma, leaving Louisiana, so no date, went with the boys. And you can see the bright colors. Yeah, it was an amazing time. But I think of who young Trayvon was and what was going on in my life. And I think of the concept of the will of God and really being more narrow of what does his will for your life look like? And at that point in time, it was so overwhelming. The thought of big decisions that felt so weighty that it was like any misstep and I could ruin the plan for my life. And suddenly everything went into the scope of something so big. Who are you gonna marry? Where are you supposed to go? I was battling between what college to pick. Where are you gonna live one day? And then it trickled down to even the smallest of decisions. Who are you gonna date? And then even on that date, is this the right person? Oh my God, and getting so overwhelmed of missing out on a lot of the freedoms that God actually had in those moments because I was so overwhelmed with, am I getting this right? Am I understanding what is going on? And that's what was underneath it, was what if I choose wrong and ruin God's will for my life? But I think if I'm honestly being truthful, it wasn't really ruining God's will for my life. It was what if I ruin my will for my life? And that was one of the traps that I was in, of everything went into the thought of what life am I making, and I never quite fully enjoyed it. But I don't think that's how we're called to live. And so tonight, I just want to share with you real briefly of how Scripture lays out what God's personal will for our life looks like. What does the freedom that is actually within his will grant us in the grand scheme of how we look at life and the decisions we make? And so tonight's text is going to be Romans 12, verse 1 through 2. And it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of mercies of God, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Paul says you can know God's will, not just guess it, but truly discern it. And so I think as we start here, it's so important that we know how to unravel this verse. And the first part is therefore. And one of the things across our ministry and that I've heard so many times is that if it starts with therefore, you have to ask, why is it therefore? For? Like, what is it there for? And it's important that we understand as Paul's coming to Romans 12, he has just went through 11 chapters where he unravels so much. But essentially he shares, we were sinners who couldn't save ourselves. God justified us by grace through faith in Jesus. He gave us new life through the Spirit. And our salvation is secure because it's rooted in his mercy. Therefore, in view of that mercy, we don't give God part of our lives, we offer him our whole lives. It's so important that we understand the full scope of it. And my first point tonight is God's will is that you be saved. God's will is that you be saved. Before we talk about who you'll marry, what job you'll take, how to discern where you will live, we have to start with the clearest will of God in Scripture. God's will is that your soul would be redeemed. Because the biggest problem in your life is not confusion about the future, it's separation from God. You see, if you look at the entire narrative of Scripture, you can go back to Genesis, where we see the perfected creation where humanity exists with God in the garden, where we have freedom to roam and work the land and do so much, but as sin entered into the world, we see that separation, where unless there is a mediator that comes between, we do not have access to the Father. But even more so, we see very clearly that throughout Scripture it says that for all of us have sinned, but the wages of sin are death. And so without salvation, it's saying regardless of what life you live here, there's an ultimate future that you are chained to without the salvation that Jesus ultimately brings. And so it's so important that we notice that all throughout Scripture, God desires all people to be saved. That means the most obvious will of God for your life is not your career or your family, it's your salvation. You cannot know God's guidance and receive God's gifts without knowing God. You cannot walk in God's will while rejecting his Son. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, this in its most simple form is saying, hey, you can worry about the next couple years, the next couple days, or whatever you want that is not guaranteed. But there is one thing that is for sure, that we don't get to decide. God's sovereign will is that his Son will return and there will be a decision that is made. And it ponders, rather than asking the simple questions of life, have you determined the big question of your eternity? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered your life to him? Because ultimately, we can find the simplest of freedoms just in the reality of if your eternity is safe, then every day that leads up to it is also safe. That no matter what happens, troubles, trials, or anything in between, you know that your eternity is secure. I think of how freeing that is just in itself, of knowing that you are free from the bondage of death that is secure in the sinful pattern of this world. And so because you can be in the right city, the right school, the right relationship, and still be outside of the will of God, again, it's important that we know, what decision have you prioritized? Are you majoring in the minors? Because sometimes we're so caught up in the minor decisions that we forget that there's one major decision that has to be made. Salvation is the foundation of everything. But once you're saved, God doesn't just forgive you, he starts to transform you. Which is why Romans says we must have our minds renewed. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so my second point is this. God's will is that we be renewed. God's will is that we be renewed. I think of this. If your mind doesn't change, your life won't change either. Renewing your mind is not trying harder to be good, but it's replacing lies with truth until your desires change. Every decision you make is being shaped by three voices. It's your flesh, which tells you what feels good. It's the world that tells you what looks good. And then there's ultimately God that defines what is good. And the thing that I realized in my own life is as I try to navigate different decisions all throughout life, if I'm being honest, all three of those voices sound similar whenever I'm not truly centered with God. I can talk myself into some terrible things and say, hey, that's a great idea. I think God is in approval of that when it's just my mind, because they all sound the same until you learn to discern the voice of God in between. You see, I think of this. I gave my life to Christ while I was in college. And it was an amazing moment. But then I think of this, I ultimately got a business degree and I had so many desires that were already rooted. And so as I graduated, I actually got the chance to go and work in the medical field. And it was one of the most unique experiences of through the right people and the right opportunity and the right time, I got elevated super quick to where within a year, I was the chief business developer for a medical firm that I was projected to make six figures by the end of that year, a year out of college. And so by all regards, I was like, I made it. I bought a motorcycle cash and I had this Porsche Cayenne GTS in view that I was gonna buy within a month, like that I was so centered on it. And I share this because when I was saved, I remember saying, God, this is what I want. If I can just make money, if I can become successful, I'll serve you with this. I already laid out my will, my plan, that I was gonna be the guy that got to give money back, that got to support ministry and do all these things. And then what really happened was as I got into that job, it began to form me. That I was going and making these business deals and I found myself out at happy hours drinking my life away. I found myself so caught up in the grind of trying to make business happen that I lost relationships and friends because I started to neglect them. And then I found myself in the midst of moral decisions, moral dilemmas, where I knew right and wrong, and yet there is still a tension on what decision am I ultimately gonna make? Because at the end of the day, I was still driven by this desire of having wealth, of having status and all these things. And by the end of it, I'll never forget the emptiness that I felt when one day, one of the doctors stepped away that was actually an incredible guy, and the guy underneath him just kind of came to me and he said, if you want to make this kind of money, you need to learn how to make some of these type of decisions. And he ultimately left me with a choice of, do I stay or do I go? And in all regards, I was pretty much fired that day. And I'll never forget realizing how much I had given to this and then seeing how far away from what I actually said I had gotten. And this is important because I think of this. There are ways that if we're not careful, we can put our will with Christian language and make it seem like God's will. But ultimately, unless you have a renewed mind, you still get the same result. And that's where I find so many people in the church trapped at, is that we find ourselves still trying to live our own will, our own way, but we say, because hey, God, I have given you my life, but I haven't submitted my will, and we wonder why it's constantly in conflict. We ask ourselves, God, why am I not getting these things? Why are you not blessing this? Bringing what you want to God and asking him to bless it does not make it his will. And so we all have to ask ourselves, all right, God, your will, your way. Well, then your will is not mine. And so every decision you make is being shaped. And so we should have a life desire that looks different from the world. If our desires are luxury, comfort, fame, or whatever it is that motivates you, and it looks exactly like everyone who is not under the standard in which God has called you to be, then how are you any different? And so you gotta ask yourself, in that moment of salvation, when you said, God, I give my life as a sacrifice, I give you all of me, make sure you actually gave him all of you and not just the parts of you that you wanted to give away, not just the parts of you that are comfortable. Because a saved heart without a renewed mind will chase the same idols just with a different image. You see, your mind is renewed through God's word, through prayer, through obedience, through community. Amongst those, when you constantly have the influence of God flowing throughout, with the influence of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you in salvation, you will see that your desires change. The way that you see the world changes because you begin to desire the things that God desires. You have a heart that is guided towards what he has a heart for. And suddenly you realize that it's all different. You see, Colossians says, set your mind on the things above. Philippians says, think on what is true and pure. And so not because you can find a secret plan, but because you become a transformed person, God's will changes in your life. Your will changes because it begins to align with his. You see, one of the things that I saw the other day, I've always been a nerd about like the History Channel and different things like that. And one night there was a documentary on about a silversmith. And a silversmith is basically just someone who takes raw silver and refines it so that we can get the beautiful jewelry that we have all over. And this guy was interviewing one of them. And as he's in it, he just asked him, all right, tell me the process. And the guy says, you take this raw element of silver, which is kind of dark and dusty. It doesn't look like anything glamorous because it has all types of black specks, dirt, all these things in it. And you hold it to a flame and you begin to let it be refined. And then the thought is, how do you know when it's done? And the silversmith said, it's very simple. You'll see your reflection in it. Through the process, all of the bad, dirty things are washed away, and eventually you're left with pure silver that just mirrors the image of what's there. And that's what this Romans passage is telling us, that through the renewing of our minds, we will be transformed. And it's not something that we do, but it is God's Spirit that comes upon you and will begin the process of transforming you. And so God's will changes because you change. It doesn't feel like this trap or something so unattainable because suddenly it is something that your heart desires. It's something that you naturally align with. You see, without renewal, you will be controlled by comparison, money, relationships, approval, and all the other things that we get caught up in. But with renewal, you'll become free. Free from needing those things to define you. And a free person can actually discern God's will. When you have the freedom of you are no longer struck by the desires of this world, by the thought of the people around you or the many different things, you actually will find that there is immense freedom in God's will for your life. Because now you have one filter. Does this please God? And so my third point is discerning God's will gives you freedom. Romans says, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And so just to break this down, to discern is to distinguish between what is good and bad. To discern is still to have the choice in the matter, but to be made aware of what you are actually choosing between. And so, when we're talking about discernment, it's not about finding the one right option. It's about identifying what are the good options and what are the bad options. And when you actually do that, you will realize that there is immense freedom in the reality that God has given you a choice amongst many good things that sometimes we feel trapped in. You see, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. And that gives you a filter. Can this glorify God? Can this glorify God? Because if eating and drinking in the most ordinary parts of life can glorify God, then the major you pick, the job you want, the relationship you're in, and the city you live in can all be glorifying to God through some filters. I think sometimes we get caught up and don't realize the gift that God has given of two good choices. When we can't discern what is good and bad, we start to look at every decision of one must be good and one must be bad. And sometimes we get trapped in the reality of sometimes God puts really good things in front of you. And in the freedom that he has given, the gift of free will, he says, you pick. there are times we walk as though a life submitted to God's will is this box in which we only have the one path that he has already laid out, and that anything other than that is gonna ruin our lives, when the reality is he's like a good God who has opened up a hallway and says, pick your door. And behind it, there will be a good gift, there will be opportunities, there will be challenges, there will be all types of things, but the gift is you get to live a life in which you actually have choice in the matter. That you're not restricted as some robot that is autonomous, that he simply said, hey, I'm putting you here, everything's laid out, and whether you like it or not, you're gonna do it. You see, the gift that he gave us to choose him is also the gift that we get to choose the many things on this earth, that now with a renewed mind, we can align and actually choose the things that are pleasing to God. And so then it makes it simple. Okay, is this sin? We know that nowhere in God's will does sin align. Salvation is on the opposite side of that sin. So it makes it real clear of whatever decision you are making in life, if on the other side of there it's sin, you have a pretty clear direction of it should probably be a no. It should definitely be a no. And that's the reality of, if we go back to renewing your mind and understanding, letting go of your will and God's will, a lot of the decision that we struggle with, if we really refine it and look at it, there's a selfish aspect in which usually we're still trying to serve our will and not God's. That there's still some element of, this is not two good options, it's me battling what I know is right and wrong, and I simply don't want to submit it over. But then I think of this, if we truly submit ourselves to the process, and we separate sin and we walk in a life that's faithful, what does it look like when suddenly your decisions are two good options? When it's, hey, where am I gonna go to school? And you have OU and OSU, we'll just use those for here. You got two terrible options as far as sports, they'll both let you down. My man, if you're looking for a championship, it might be a little rough, but also look at this. What a beautiful aspect that it's like, hey, you can go here and you can be pleasing to the Lord. And you can also go here and be pleasing to the Lord. Which one do you choose? And I will be proud of you. I will be pleased with you because you are still doing it with me. Submit it to me. A decision that some of you stressed over for months can be simplified in such a freedom of, he's like, pick. It's not that deep. Like, I think of this, I was talking to one of our young adults, I'm not gonna say his name because he's actually in the room, but we were navigating a decision and he's just talking to me. And at the end of it, I just said, I'm like, man, it's really not that deep. And he put the perfect imagery in my mind. He said, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm trying to drown in ankle deep water. And then I sat there and I thought about it, because this is not a small man. And imagine watching someone in a kiddie pool freak out as though they're about to die and they're just splashing water all over the place. They're like, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die. And you're like, it's really not that deep. Like, you can step out of this and be okay. You can stay in this and be okay. And that's where I think a lot of times we find ourselves in God's will, is that we are making something as though we are drowning. And he's like, I've made this decision to where you're in safe waters. Navigate it with peace. You are not in danger. But I also think of the gift of this. Romans 8:28 says, God works all things for the good of those who love him. And so I think there's also a security in God's will for your life. Because sometimes we're like, well, what about the consequences if I go a route that I didn't quite discern, maybe I didn't go with the peace of God and all these other things. And I think of this, it is okay. If he has your eternity in his hands, he also has your next decision and moment in his hands as well. And I wanna give you a reality check. Suffering is in the will of God. It was fully in God's will for Christ to go to the cross. And so just because you made a decision and suddenly it is hard, suddenly you are in an uncomfortable place, does not mean it is outside of the will of God. because he can still use that for good. Sometimes he's gonna put you in a place where you're uncomfortable to grow you, to actually reveal to you the depth in which you have to come up before you are sent into your next opportunity. There are some things that if we got them when we wanted them so bad outside of God's order, it would ruin us. And so sometimes the place where God puts you in his plan is actually to refine you so that when you are ready, you will actually be able to thrive in the gift in which he has actually laid out for you. I think of this. I found this imagery online, and it's a theologian named Dallas Willard that I feel like paints the picture of God's will so well. And it's called the backyard picture. He says, God's will is like a grandfather watching his grandkids play in the background, in the backyard. It says he built the yard, he made it safe, he put up the fence. The fence isn't there to ruin their fun, it's there to keep them safe. Inside the yard, they're free. Free to run, they're free to play, they're free to choose whatever they want to do. And if they start heading towards danger, there's a boundary in which protects them. It guides them back within the freedom in which they have. And so beautifully, it says that's God. Sin is outside the fence, but inside the fence, you have freedom to go and live your life. There will be discernment in which God will guide you at times and tell you where not to go. But even in that, there is freedom to choose amongst many things in our life. And if we can let go of our will and truly trust God, it frees us from so much of the anxiousness in the weight of decisions that he meant to always be a gift of go and explore the life within the freedom of the desires that I have given you. Because it doesn't say that he removes desires completely when you submit your life to him. Quite the opposite. He highlights good desires. He highlights passions within you. He grows them and reveals to you how all of these things can be done to his glory. And so to me, when I look at it, I think the true reality is if we understand God's will, there is a lot more freedom than there is confinement. There is a lot more ability to truly say, wow, look at all that God has given in this world and allowed me to fully embrace. And if you see that, I think you can live different. And so some of you are exhausted from trying to find the perfect will of God, afraid you're gonna mess it up, but God guides your heart, and then he gives you freedom to live. You're not gonna ruin your life by choosing between good options. You are free to enjoy your life with God. You are free from the bondage of sin, which means you are free to live in the truest form forever. So what do we do with this? I have two things. One, a truth to know. And that's that God's will is not a tightrope. It's a relationship. If we really sum it down to one thing, God is saying, his will is that you walk with him both now and forever. He wants to redeem your soul and truly have you in his presence. The entire narrative of the Bible is that from separation, he has put in place a plan to bring you back into his presence. It's not some trap, it's not some trick. It's not something that he has hidden in which you cannot know. But it is something that you must accept. Which leads to the second thing, which is a question to ponder. Are you trying to get God to bless your will? Are you surrendering to his? Because in many ways, I think it'll change the outlook on life. If God's not gonna bless your will, but he will allow you to thrive fully in his. And so as I leave you, as we go into 120 seconds, I just ask that you would think through that. But would you close in prayer? And so would you bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you have done. I thank you for the immense blessings that you have bestowed upon us, the gift of salvation, but also the gift of the world that you have brought before us, the life that you have given. And so God, would you open our hearts? Would you search us? And would you reveal to us the true posture of our hearts? Is it turned towards you or is it turned towards us? And Lord, will we see the freedom in fully surrendering all to you? Amen.